Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Matthew 9, we're going to read verse 35. Thank you to the worship team for all your practice and all you do. Let's read these three verses of scripture in a message I've entitled, Moved by Mercy. Moved by mercy, Jesus traveled, this is a New Living Translation, Jesus traveled throughout all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Let's all say that together. And he healed every kind. How many kinds? Every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields." Let's pray. Gracious, awesome, mighty God, thank you for what you've done all day long in this service and the worship time and prayer and offering now. Now as we break into your word, move in power. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, Pastor Karen and I went to the Blaisdell Center in Honolulu, and Benny Hinn was the speaker that night. It was packed out. It was about 8,000 people there. I wore my best suit. I think I had one suit at that time. I wore my best suit. We looked as sharp as we could to go represent the Lord, and we got there early because, I mean, if you didn't get there, you weren't getting in. So we got there hours early, and we went in, got in there. We were seated. We were seated probably three quarters of the way back on the main floor. And because I was wearing a suit, and I don't know, people's perception was that I maybe was, you know, one of the ministers or one of the pastors there, or maybe I was part of Benny Hinn's team. I don't know what they thought. But I started to be surrounded by, well, it started with one parent, a mom and dad, and a very handicapped child. They were Spanish-speaking, didn't speak much English at all, and they brought to me their very deformed child with tears running down their face, and they said, "Pray for our child," basically. But I understood what they were saying. It was in Spanish. And I'm like, you know, I didn't know if I was allowed to pray. It was one of those times where like, and they're saying, "Please pray." So I laid my hands on the child and I prayed. Well, when I prayed for that child, then all of a sudden there was another one. And all of a sudden there was another one. And literally before I knew it, I was surrounded. Now, I don't want to exaggerate. So let me say 15 different families. No, I'm not saying three. I am saying 15. I'm not saying 25, but like 15. There were triple stacked, quad stacked all around with their kids. Some people, I don't know, they were weeping, they were crying. "Please pray for me. Please lay hands on me, please." So I just started flowing. I was praying in the spirit. I started laying hands on people, and I started feeling very uncomfortable for a number of reasons. One, I didn't know if I had the authority to do it as someone there. And I was conflicted that way because I'm into structural authority, and so should you be. Structural authority is important. We don't just let anybody lay hands on people here in the church. Why is that? Because we don't know where some of their hands have been. Can someone say amen? And I've seen some craziness in church. I just heard about some craziness in some church, not in Alaska. I mean, the most, I don't know. I don't even know if they read their Bible. It's crazy. Jesus, help me. I have to move off of that. My heart broke for these people. And I began to feel something in my spirit that I don't know that I'd experienced before. It was a deep, broken compassion, but at the same time, I felt so powerless. I was confronted. I remember coming back and talking to Karen. I don't know if you remember that. Came back and I spoke to her. She had our seats saved. And I just said, I feel something of this pull like was on Jesus. There's only one problem. I don't feel like I have anything to offer them. My faith level at that time was growing, and it still is. This is a beautiful passage of scripture because you see Christianity is not like Islam. Women in Islam are treated like chattel. They're possessions. Christianity is unique. It's phenomenal. You study, the deists would talk about God, that God is someone that just made creation, and he made man, and he made woman, but he's outside of the involvement. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible's intimately involved in every detail of your life. He loves you. He's moved with compassion. He's moved by mercy. Mercy and compassion is the same word. And if you'll understand that mercy and compassion is at the very heart of God, I mean, that's an encouraging thing to know that he has mercy for you. He has compassion for the brokenhearted. He's not afar off. It's not like he cares less. It's not like he's some loving slave owner. He's moved with compassion. Compassion is one of the ingredients that will release the power of the Holy Spirit. Mercy. If you don't feel, you know what mercy is? Mercy and compassion. Sympathy. Sympathy feels bad. Oh, I feel bad for you. Compassion feels what other people feel and does something. Compassion is a verb. It's an action word. Other religions have spawned insane doctrine, have permeated our country, have permeated the nations of the world. It is not Christianity. Christianity is, by the very nature of the heart of God, moved by mercy. Christians do more to help the homeless, the helpless, the indigent, the broken, widows, and orphans. Christians reach out like no other religion in the whole world. It was in India not long ago. And they have, what do they have, 25,000 gods, I think. Is that right, Pastor Karen? And there's no compassion on any of them. There's no compassion that comes from those false religions. Everybody say, God's moved by mercy. Verse 36, look at verse 36. We read it. When he saw the crowds. When he saw the crowds, it's the key verse. He was moved by compassion. Another version, New Living Translation. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. I don't know about you, but I've been irritated by confused and helpless people before. Don't look at me like that. Aren't you glad that Jesus looks at you with compassion and mercy, not judgment, doesn't look down his nose at you? All of the New Testament is filled with understanding that God is a God of mercy. God is a God of compassion, and we need to be like that. Look with me at a couple parables here. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. It's a parable of the prodigal son. Luke 15, verse 20, so New International Version. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a way off, his father saw him. How many of you know the story of the prodigal son? He basically says to his dad, I don't care if you're dead or alive. Give me my money. Give me my inheritance. I'm out. Peace. He pops smoke, as they say in the military, and he's gone. And he takes off, and he blows all the money on wild living. And he ends up eating the pods that are fed to the pigs. and he comes to his senses. Isn't it a great thing when people come to their senses? He comes to his senses and he says, oh, if I was at my father's house, oh, I'd have so much. And he decides to go home. He came to his senses. He goes home. Why? He's afar off, which means his dad was looking for him. It's a picture of the father. The father is looking for those who are far off. He's looking for those who are broken. His eyes go to and fro looking for those who would strengthen him. And this prodigal son comes home, and while he's so far off, his father sees him. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. So he ran at his son, which is, it's an impossible thing if you understand the culture for a father to run. It was not very dignified. It's a picture of Jesus bearing the shame of the cross for you and me. Compassionate, and ran at his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, it reads this. He passed in front of Moses proclaiming, quote, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to Luke 10. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of mercy. Is there anybody else that's glad about that? He's moved by your problem. He's moved by your pain. He's moved by your by the issues that you're going through. He's moved by Minister Hank lying on his back right now. He's moved with compassion. He doesn't look down his nose at your confusion or your difficulty or your pain. He looks at compassion and mercy. That's why he sent his son. He's moved by mercy. We need to be moved by mercy. Amen. Luke 10 and 33. But a Samaritan on his journey came up, and when he saw the man, he had compassion on him. New International Version. He had compassion on him. He went over to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. And he put him in his own, on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. Jesus was exposing a lot at this parable. But he wants to show the people that not only they were prejudiced, not only did people have issues, but we need to have compassion. The Father has compassion. How compassionate are you? You know how compassionate you are, not by what you feel, but by what you do. Look with me at Matthew chapter 9. Again, verse 36, he saw the crowds and he had compassion on him. The feeding of the multitudes, is he has compassion on them. It's the basis of the ministry of Jesus. It is who he is. He's a God of all compassion. Come on, lift your hands to God. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows the problem that you face and the insurmountable financial challenge. He knows what you're going through, and he has compassion on you. He has mercy on you. It is the basis for his ministry in the earth. The reason he had compassion, because of his compassion and mercy, that's the reason he sent his son, because he wanted you to be redeemed. Somebody said, like, I want justice. I want justice. No, you don't want justice because you'd get killed. You want mercy. Everybody say mercy. Turn to Luke 7. Luke 7 and verse 12, as he approached the gate of the town, a dead person being carried out, the only son of his mother, she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. That's a picture of mercy and compassion. And said, don't cry. I love that. When the Lord saw her. Can't get away from the reality of that Greek word there, Lord, Kyrios. It means Lord God Almighty. It doesn't mean Lord Ruler, Lord Teacher. It means the Lord God Almighty. Refers to Luke calling Jesus God. That's what that says. When God saw her, he had compassion, he had mercy. His heart went out to her. There's all kinds of crowds that are following all kinds of things out there. It's all kinds of likers, and there's all kinds of haters. There's a crowd that wants to follow the dead and mourn and grieve and talk about how bad it's going to be. And there is grieving, and there is mourning, and some of you are doing that now, and I'm included. But God looks at the woman and has compassion on her. He's moved. You realize, I mean, she's in trouble. It's her only son, and she's a widow. She has no means of making a living. They didn't have welfare. They had different things like gleaning. They had some processes there, but she had no one to take care of her, and her only son is gone. And he says, don't cry. I say to you tonight, don't cry. Look to the God who's moved by mercy, because he's going to have mercy on you, going to have mercy on your situation. And many times that's accessed by faith, as Brother Jabe was talking about. The word, you got to have the word. The promises are yes and amen, but you got to receive them. You got to believe them. And in believing that, you stand on the word mercy and compassion and power is released. It is truly the basis of everything Jesus did. Man with leprosy, Mark 1, go there. Mark 1, verse 40. Man with leprosy came and begged him on his knees. If you're willing, you can make me clean. Look at verse 41. Mark 1, verse 41. Filled with compassion. Filled with, I've got the right scripture. Filled with compassion. Jesus reached out his hand and touched a man. I am willing, be clean. What was he filled with? Compassion. How's your compassion level? Compassion and mercy, synonymous. How merciful are you? Oh, I'm feeling, is that conviction I smell? I'm certainly convicted. Why are you convicted, Pastor? I think as we've pastored for years, we've had people occasionally take advantage. And I've ended up at times jaded. I'm not currently jaded. I have to battle against it. What do you mean jaded? You know what jaded is? Jaded is like you've been shanked. That's a prison term. Not that I've been there. You've been backstabbed so many times, or people trying to take advantage and work you over, that you just it can be at times. You stand in the unbelief and don't have compassion. You want to have judgment. No, it's hard, like, at times for us. Like how we've talked about, I've told y'all over and over, it's a bad idea to allow your children to sleep over anybody's house. Now, that might have been good in 1950, although I think it was dangerous in 1952, but not 1952 or 1953, I'm just as well. But no way near what it is now. You say, well, how do you know? Because we pastor hundreds and thousands of people and have been around and have seen the tragedy that happens. But I know the family, they're a good family. Yeah, but you didn't know the uncle was coming over. Well, that's all I'm going to say about that. And yet, I've had people come to me, Pastor Kirsten, you know, they came weeping. Something happened. Something happened to my son. Something happened to my daughter. Sit down, talk to them. Well, what happened? Well, they went over to sleep over someone's house. And I just want to say, I told you. I want to do that. But usually my heart's broken. I don't do that. But I did tell them. And I'm telling you right now, sleepovers for kids, bad idea. Having anybody sleep over your house, also a my wife and I have sleepovers every night. We're married. We play house. Amen. It's awesome. Lift your hands to heaven and say, I have no idea what he's talking about. But I'm not sending my kids over to someone's house. Amen. But no, they're my cousins. It's just very, very rare that you can do that. And at times, when I've seen people do things that we've warned them over and over and over and over and over, that I have a tendency, especially when I'm not prayed up, to not have compassion. But that's not of God. We need to have compassion for each other and mercy. Filled with compassion. You know, in this text in Mark 1, verse 40 and 41, he broke a sociological barrier by touching this leper. He broke a psychological barrier by touching, a sociological barrier by touching. You don't touch lepers if you're a Jew. It's not allowed. And yet he reached over and he touched and healed. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 34. Matthew 20, verse 34, doing a great job on those scriptures. Jesus felt sorry for them. He touched their eyes. It's Jesus had compassion. Compassion is a better word. That's probably the New Living Translation. We're going back and forth in and out of different verses. Because sorry doesn't get it. I remember leading, I talked about leading a tour on a bicycle and how a bird gave me the word of the Lord this morning. I had people that were impacted by that. Well, it was on one of those tours. And I get down to Paia. Anybody know where Paia, Maui is? Right in front of the fish market, Paia Fish Market. And we line up all the bikes and we have to make a left turn to the beach. And we're all lined up. We're waiting for the light to go green. And this young girl, college student, is on her bike and she loses her balance and she steps over into the right-hand turn lane. And this local truck, a lowered local truck with like, I don't know, 1,000 watts and like serious bass and some reggae music playing, runs over her foot. She screams and falls over. And I see it. I'm like, dude. And he drives these, sorry, is what he says. Sorry, and he just drives, takes a right turn. He's gone. How have you know that was not compassionate? And I don't like that version there. He was sorry. He was sorry. Matthew 20, 34, Jesus had compassion. He didn't feel sorry for them. It's just a horrible version, the New Living Translation on that. It's not sorry, he has compassion. You know, I don't need someone's sorrow. You don't need God's sorrow. You need God's mercy. You need God's compassion. The Apostle Paul, look at Philippians chapter 2. I know we're looking at a lot of scripture because I want you to get it. Get what? I want you to get the reality that God has compassion. He's moved by mercy for you and what you're going through and your family and your brother and your sister and your auntie who's afar off from God. He's moved with mercy. And if you'll line your heart up with that and understand that he's not only moved for mercy for you, he's moved for mercy for others. For the fields are white with harvest. So many people need to hear the message of mercy. That is what we need to preach. It's what we need to demonstrate. Again, it's a verb. It's an action word. Philippians 2 and 27, indeed he was ill, talking of his yoke fellow, and almost died. But God had, I love that. I remember when I first heard this text preached, it was Dr. Morocco preaching from Philippians 2, and he said, I love that because that's a contrary to what some evangelists would say. The Apostle Paul said, he doesn't say, indeed he was healed, he almost died, but I touched him, I laid hands on him, and I raised him up. No, he said, God had mercy. It's interesting. I mean, the Apostle Paul's anointed man of God, but he understands the gift of healing is also a gift of mercy that comes from God. Come on, raise your hand if you need God's mercy. Oh, come on, somebody say, oh, God, release your mercy on my life. Oh, God, release your mercy. Not only on him, but on me, he says, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. He saw the gift of healing as a result of God's compassion and mercy and his authority. Our testimony is a testimony of God's mercy. Many occasions in life, you could be dead. My brother and I, we went and had lunch with my mom and some close family friends. She's 87. We went out to lunch. My brother started telling stories, and I thought, how in God's name did we not die? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, over and over and over, drowning experiences in the ocean. I don't mean once. I mean numerous times. Accidents, car crashes, motorcycle accidents. I mean on and on and on. And that's just the stuff we know about. Never mind the things that missed you that you didn't even know. Crashed in a helicopter. When I first got saved, we're in Maui. I was able to get a ride in a helicopter. Mechanic at church said, hey, you should come check out my job. I said, okay. He said, we just put this rotor on. It's amazing. We're going to take it for a spin, a little test spin. You want to come? I'm like, yeah, let's go. I get in the back seat of the helicopter. It takes off. We're over a sugarcane field, and the thing starts shaking violently to pieces. I mean, like, the Vietnam vet who's flying the helicopter is cursing like he is the most creative cursing person I've ever heard. I've never heard such incredible curses. Vietnam vet just dropping it left and right. Man could curse. He had a special gift for cursing. And the thing was, it wasn't funny. Like, he's scared. We're crashing. We're going to crash. And while we're crashing, and the mechanic's like, oh God, oh God, oh God, he was saved. The other guy's like, F-bomb, 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 F-bomb. And we're, and we're spinning around. I realized, we're crashing. We're going to crash. And I just looked out the window and thought, Jesus. We landed hard in the sugarcane field. I don't know how I'm alive. Come on, Tommy, Minister Tommy. How are you even breathing right now? The mercy of God, the compassion. Come on, think about what God's done for you, how he healed you, how he saved you. Your testimony. Come on, Pastor Austin. Merciful, compassionate, almighty. Come on, almighty God. Your testimony is a testimony of God's mercy. And you think about where you used to be. Think about what you used to do. God in his mercy reached across the muck and mire and snatched you like a stick from the fire. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Don't ever forget it, that he's a compassionate, merciful God. He cares about you. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're setting down. He knows your frame. He knows what you can handle. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. God is releasing his compassion and his mercy to you, your marriage, your kids, your finances, your church. God is filled with mercy. He's moved by mercy. He's moved by mercy. It's who we serve, the living God, the merciful, compassionate God Almighty. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 19. Pardon me, verse 15. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy. So that we may receive what? Come on, say it like you mean it. Mercy. How do you receive mercy? One of the ways you receive it, of course, is just the wonderful blessing of Almighty God. He's merciful. Another way that you receive mercy is by approaching the throne of grace, by boldly coming before him and saying, mercy, mercy, God. I was fasting. The particular fast I know saved our church. It was in the first year, I think we were here, maybe second year. I was on a 40-day fast commanded by the Lord. And during the 40-day fast, our church went from 250 to about 125, 150 people. We lost 100 people during my 40-day fast. During that 40-day fast, you start getting into an intense fast like that. For me, I need to give my wallet, my keys, I need to give my brain to my wife because it just doesn't work and I shouldn't be driving. But I was. Don't judge, I've matured a little bit since then. I had Hannah in the front seat. I've told the story before here. And I ended up getting pulled over. When I looked at my speedometer coming back from Anchorage, I was coming off of 110. So I'm hitting the brake, I'm coming off 110. I'm on the brake and getting pulled over. Hannah gets underneath her jacket, and she was so small that she could fit. She was 7 years old, says Pastor Karen. She could fit under her jacket. She got under her jacket. The state trooper came. They waited a long time, ran my plates. They didn't come right to the car. They ran my plates first. Eventually, he came and said, "Do you know how fast you were going?" I said, "Not exactly." He said, "Son, you're in big trouble." And he walked off, and I realized, now at that time, if I was to get a ticket, that at that speed, you can lose your truck, you lose your license, you go to jail. And I knew also that I would lose the insurance as a pastor in our church that was struggling. So he tells me that, and I'm 3 weeks in on a water fast, and I cracked in half. And I went to the throne. I've had the experience maybe five times in my life where I physically left my body. That's what it felt like. And I cried out before the throne for mercy. I don't know how long that happened. I don't know how long that process took place. I don't recall. But when I do remember crying out for mercy at the throne, and I remember being aware of someone else being there. Not at the throne, but like in the earth. I don't know how to describe it to you. I remember coming back aware, back in my body, and I shuddered, I shook, and my whole shirt was wet from tears. And my prayer was, "God have mercy, God have mercy, oh God have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy." And so when I came to the man, I looked at him, he says, "Why are you speeding?" I said, "I'm a pastor," and then he just rips me. "Pastors shouldn't drive like that." I said, "I know." He said, "A layman shouldn't drive like that." I said, "I know." I said, "I'm ashamed. Mercy." He said, "I'm going to leave you to God and your conscience because it seems like it's enough." And he handed me my driver's license back. We drove off, and I forgot Hannah was there the whole time. We drove off. I'm like, "God, thank you, Hannah, oh God." And Hannah's like, "Wow, Dad." I'm like, "Yeah." Karen was really mad at me. Why was mercy released? Let's read it again. If we do not have a high priest, Hebrews 4, verse 15, if we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness, but one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy. Understand there's linkage here. There's connectivity between approaching the throne and mercy being released. Yes, you can rest on God's sovereignty, which means he does what he wants, when he wants, to whoever he wants to. Hence, he is sovereign. But there's a release of compassion from heaven. There's a release of mercy from the throne when you have a prayer life to access it. And if you don't access it, you won't see that degree of mercy. Come on, how many of you need mercy? Raise your hand. Then start a prayer life. Get in morning prayer tomorrow. Commit to going before his throne. Commit to crying out to God, and you'll see waves of mercy. The Lord is going to release mercy upon our nation as never before. In fact, he has done it, but half the story is yet to be told, because there's a people who are rising in their God-given, blood-bought right and authority to come before the throne and intercede for God's mercy on our nation and on the nations of the world. Can someone say amen? Amen. What is the consequences of all that? Understanding that he's merciful. Well, simply, if you're taking notes, if he's merciful and compassionate, which I've shown you in Scripture, it means that you have help. It means you have help. Your babies will have help. Your marriage has help. God will help us. Our faith is in the one who can heal us, and not only can heal us, he wants to. I'm convinced that God wants to move in greater ways than we ever knew. But he's moved by faith. He's not moved by need or want. He's moved by faith. You've got to operate out of compassion. Healing is linked to compassion. Jesus is moved with compassion. Colossians 3 and 12. Keys, please. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Colossians 3:12. Let's read it. It's on the screen. Let's go ahead and read that version. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. With what? With compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All together, one more time, Colossians 3. It's on the screen or on your device. Ready, set, go. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, thank you.
Thank you for your great mercy. Thank you for your great mercy you've had on me. Thank you for your compassion from day to day. Thank you for your great mercy. Thank you for your great mercy, God. Forgive us for where we've not been clothed with compassion, for where we've not been clothed with humility. Forgive us, oh God. And we ask you tonight that you would clothe us. Thank you for your great mercy. Oh, moved by mercy. It's interesting that in the verses that follow, the harvest is great. It's connected here, but the workers are few. God is launching forth the Greek word. Pray, Lord of the harvest, to thrust forth laborers into the harvest field. Pray the Lord who's in charge of the harvest, ask him to send. That word send is ekbalo. It's a very strong word. The release of workers filled with compassion is linked to prayer. Thank you for your great mercy. Let me say it again. Pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send ekbalo. It's a violent word. It's the same word that's used for casting out devils. To launch, to thrust forth workers into the harvest field. Verse 38. Pray. Harvest plentiful, laborers are few, says another version. That literally prayer and the harvest, prayer and missions are tied. Prayer and release of workers that have compassion are tied. Somebody said, how did you guys make 150 life groups? It's got to be prayer, Pastor Tammy. How are we going to hit 200? Prayer. But it's not just a life group. We need people filled with compassion, filled with mercy, people filled with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, people that are aware of their role. How many of you need help tonight, healing in your body? We didn't pray for healing up front, but we're going to pray now. You go ahead and lead us on into some worship, and I'm going to invite you, if you need God's compassion and mercy and healing in your body, Philippians 2 talked about healing released. The Apostle Paul, that God had mercy on him and me also. God wants to have mercy on you. Yes, there's healing scriptures we stand on and we decree them. We proclaim them boldly, the authority of God's word. But understand, it's still a gift of mercy and compassion.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.